Hey, good afternoon, Juneau. It's about 15 seconds before 3 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, going to be your host today for Juneau Afternoon. I've got a great lineup of guests to interview for you today, and we'll find out a lot of interesting things here. Alaska Experience Camp is coming up on the 11th of August, and Darren Snyder and Katie Blagden will be by to tell us about that. Cindy Gibson is up from Sitka. She'll be telling us about a Social Security workshop she's going to be holding, on Saturday at the Alaska Room at the Juneau Airport. Irene Muller will be playing at the Alaskan Saturday, and so she's going to bring her guitar by and maybe do a tune or two for us. And Maria Offer, a craft vendor, is going to be over at Food Truck Friday, which is going on at the Jack this afternoon. Sophia Lager will also be here. She's with the Flustered Cluckers, a band. They play blues rock, and they'll be playing tonight at the Jack at 6. Right now, time for National Native News, so stay tuned, and away we go with Juneau Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. U.S. lawmakers and tribal leaders are trying to speed up the return of land to tribes from the historic Cobell Indian Trust case. With more in Washington, D.C., is Matt Laszlo.
In 2009, the U.S. government settled with Native American groups in one of the largest ever class action lawsuits. With that multi-billion-dollar settlement, it promised the buyback of reservation lands purchased by people who weren't members of tribes. Interior Department Deputy Secretary Michael Connor says he's confident the Bureau of Indian Affairs can satisfy deadlines to disperse nearly $2 billion.
I think we're in a good position, certainly not an overconfident position, that we're going to meet the timeframes, and we've got a lot of work to do.
Hellman Hancock is legislative director for the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. He says Idaho tribes are more satisfied with the buybacks than they expected to be.
I think tribes are fairly accustomed to a pretty delayed response time on getting back on negotiating agreements with BIA and Interior. But in this case, I think we had a fairly positive experience with the buyback program.
The settlement means the Interior Department has to appraise the land it's buying. The Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin has an advantage other tribes don't in getting land return, its own land title records program. Susan Walk-On is a representative in the Ho-Chunk Nation legislature.
For us that have the experience, and you know, we've been working steadily on doing more of the contracting ourselves and working with the buyback program, I honestly think just give us the money, let us do it.
Tired of waiting for the federal government, Walk-On says the tribe would be better off just managing the purchases themselves. I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Tribal leaders from Wisconsin and Michigan will meet with Environmental Protection Agency officials next month. They plan to urge them to stop mining activity in the Lake Superior region. Mike Simonson reports.
The six tribes of Wisconsin's Chippewa Federation sent a letter to the EPA May 27th asking them to invoke a section of the Clean Water Act to stop mining exploration by Gogebic Taconite. GTAC wants to build the largest open-pit iron ore mine in North America. Now the EPA has set a meeting with the Ojibwe bands for August 16th in Grand Traverse, Michigan. Bad River Tribal Chairman Mike Wiggins says President Obama told Native leaders that the U.S. government has a covenant to protect tribal homelands.
I don't know of many other tribes that are under the type of imminent threat our tribe is under here as we form up the catch basin of a watershed that is slated for, you know, having its headwaters exploded. When I think about trust responsibility, the relationship between the states and the tribes, there definitely needs to be some federal activity in motion to protect our tribal homeland, and we'll see how that plays out.
Wiggins says new state mining laws don't protect the environment, and EPA intervention would allow federal regulators to gather the information. State law allows only state and mining employees within 600 feet of the mine site. GTAC spokesman Bob Seitz says they want to continue exploration of the mine site.
Well, we find it confusing that folks want the science done, they want the research done, they want the facts to come out, and then they would petition to stop gathering the facts.
In February, the EPA invoked the Clean Water Act to stop Alaska's Pebble Mine in an effort to protect the Bristol Bay fishery. Federal regulators must decide if that mine would do irreparable damage there. For National Native News, I'm Mike Simonson.
The Oklahoma State Department of Education recently unveiled a new online Indian education resource. The resource, available on the department's website, has information about the 39 tribes in Oklahoma and includes culture, history, and governments. It's aimed at helping teachers prepare lesson plans. Native educators, tribes, and Native groups contributed. According to the Education Department, the state has one of the largest Native student populations in the country. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Humboldt State University has a part-time, 3.5-year online Master of Social Work program emphasizing decolonizing work with rural and indigenous communities. Applications accepted from August 1 to begin in January. More at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
Not voting is not rebelling. It's surrendering. Your voice counts when you vote. First, you have to register. Find out more at nativevote.org. Brought to you by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice 1. The Native American Radio Service.
This is KTOO News. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. It's 5 minutes and 41 seconds after 3 o'clock, and you're listening to Juneau Afternoon, like I said. My first two guests are here to tell us about a wonderful experience for children, youth, I guess, mm-hmm. is the correct term, ages 11 through 18. And this happens starting August 11th out at the Eagle River Scout Camp Juneau. So with me are Darren Snyder and Katie Blagden. Darren is the Cooperative Extension Agent for the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and Katie is has been dragooned into assisting with the camp. So, Katie, can you tell us how you became involved in this operation? To what extent was it dragooning?
Well, you know, I just heard about the camp through a friend, and it sounded like an awesome experience, and so I decided to try to participate. Maybe a camp counselor, hanging out there, staying in one of the cabins with the kids. It's going to be a really good time. So I'm excited about it.
So, Darren, this is the, you've been doing this for a few years now.
Yeah, our first actually was in 2009 with a day camp, and then we, in 2010, and so for the last 3-4 years, we've been doing this as a residential camp, and it's just really an excellent, I dare say even transformative experience for kids to have a 4 or 5 days out, away from home with a bunch of friends their own age and kids they don't know, kids they do know, getting to know each other and just learning a lot of really important skills that will help them throughout their lives as Alaskans.
Now, this is billed as the Alaskan Experience Camp, so you're doing things with big screen TV and cell phone usage.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, right. We try and be as unplugged as possible. We do have definitely navigation with GPS units and all the high-tech gadgetry that helps people be safe and effective in the outdoors. This was previously named the Sustainable Harvest Camp, yeah. and that does kind of illustrate a lot of our emphasis. We're looking at conservation of resources and just responsible use of resources, whether we're hunting, fishing, or even gardening and a cultivated harvest of sorts. And with 4-H, we have a high emphasis on developing the group of kids as a group and having that sense of belonging, and then also a sense of purpose. Besides learning all these skills, they're also going to be giving back to the community and providing service. We're going to be starting at the Arboretum, and Merrill Jensen out there has offered to host us, and so we're going to be learning about what's going on out there and also helping them out a bit by doing some service projects out there. And then we're going to head on out to the Eagle River Scout Camp, that beautiful setting out there. And we're going to have we're aiming to have about 30 kids and a whole lot of support from wonderful adults such as Katie. And we're just so happy to have Katie and the others available to be providing guidance and mentoring and a lot of expertise to teach these kids skills and just have a great time out there.
So give me a better sense here of what kinds of things the kids will do besides working in the Arboretum. So what are you going to lead them through?
So we're going to be doing all kinds of things. We're focusing on all of the different landscapes that are here in Juneau and out in that area. So the ocean, the beach, and the rainforest. We're going to be hiking, boating, kayaking, fishing, crabbing. I like to say Alaska-specific activities and things that are really valuable, not just now, but also later in life, and things that you can continue to grow with. And we're going to do all kinds of different fun things out there. So,
yeah,
this is a 4-H event, and I other than watching the 4-H kids go by on the 4th of July parade float, I'm not sure how many of our listeners are aware of the breadth of 4-H activities that go on down here. But we are not an agricultural community, but man, oh man, I run into 4-H in lots of strange places that I didn't expect them to be. So
yeah.
Can you kind of give us a rundown on what else 4-H does?
Yeah, and I'd like to just say right off that this is this event is actually a really strong partnership with 4-H and the Department of Fish and Game. Mm-hmm. Our partner, which include as individuals Tenny Bentz, Trisha Wirtz, and in the past Kristen Romanoff has been able to really help us with this with its partnership, and they're just wonderful partners on it. 4-H does have agricultural roots, but it was just found that the 4-H model, which is creating a sense of belonging, as I was mentioning, but also youth developing as independent people, being able to make choices, giving them the opportunity to challenge themselves and to meet challenges, to succeed, to fail, learn from their mistakes in a safe environment, and gain mastery of skills, and then again giving back to the community. That can be under any topic. We have a really robust program over the years with our 4-H cross country skiing club. That's developed over the years beautifully. In recent years, they've really taken it to the next step with their Devo group, where these young adults are really working hard and reaping the benefits of just really going for it and having wonderfully supportive adults in their lives, parents and others in the community who want to share what they've got and share their love of community and their ability to just be healthy people here. And that's really 4-H when it's working best, is when we have caring adults who are teaming up and helping out youth to become the leaders of tomorrow. You know, mm-hmm. really, it works well.
The reach is really fantastic. I happen to be a member of the Shotokan Karate Dojo,
yes, exactly.
And what's interesting about that is that all of our young people are actually members of the 4-H.
Yeah.
So everyone who practices Shotokan Karate in Juneau is an automatic member of the 4-H.
Yeah.
I was surprised at that, but they participate in other 4-H activities. Some of our young karatekas.
Yeah. They definitely carry forward those characteristics of a 4-H program. And they're definitely a wonderful contribution to the yeah. overall umbrella. We have 4-H throughout Southeast. Just to mention, in Sitka, there's a really strong program been going. Alaska Way of Life Club out there, a lot of shooting sports, firearm safety, some more traditional baking clubs, and here in town we've had a horse club for years and years, and
cross-country skiing.
Yeah, it's a lot of great stuff going on. This camp here is coming up soon, and one of the things we want to emphasize is that we do have scholarships available. It's $175, which is really inexpensive for a residential full-week camp in the first place, but if $175 is inhibitive to you, please don't hesitate to call us at 523-3280, 523-3280 if you're interested at all, or you think you know a youth who would be interested in doing this camp. Anybody going into middle school and on through high schools who we're looking for, both girls and boys, and again, scholarships are available, and we're really trying to get people to sign up now. It's already a little bit late to be signing up, but we know how Juneau is, so we're optimistic people are going to show up and get a slot, because there's a lot of choices this year too. We can kind of go through the list of archery, crabbing, fishing, different harvest gourmet, as we're calling it, what to cook and how to cook in a camp setting.
Hunting skills and outdoor creativity, so different journaling and you know, different crafts and twining, basketry, all of that stuff that you can do outdoors with natural resources.
Yeah.
And we're also offering an overnight kayak survival adventure.
Oh,
so the group is going to divide into two, otters and marmots, and one part of the group is going to go kayaking for a night and hang out there, and the other group is going to learn some wilderness survival skills on land. We're offering sailing, which will be really fun, shooting sports, and all kinds of boating, waterfront activities, plus the tides will be really low, so we're going to definitely do some tide pooling. And
right now we're having very large tide swings because the moon is closer to the Earth than normal, so we're at the point where we're seeing, I think this morning's tide, about 11:30 this morning, was about 0.68 minus, so that really opens up the tide pools dramatically.
Mm-hmm. It's also really nice in the high tide, because in that slough there, right in front of the Eagle River Scout Camp area, is a wonderful place to go play around, and that's what we'll be doing, a lot of playing in kayaks and canoes, stand-up paddleboard, you name it, we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. For those of you who are interested in practicing building survival shelters, that's going to be part of, again, part of that, those activities is, you know, how to build a safe shelter, how to keep yourself warm and safe and frankly alive in the Alaskan wilderness in the case that you need to, and otherwise just have a good time, you know, how to have a good time in Alaska outdoors.
Outstanding. Well, this is a great program. So once again, you call 523-3280, or you go out, just Google Community or Cooperative Extension Service Juneau. That'll probably get you right to your site.
Sure will.
And the dates, again, are August 11th through the 15th. It is time now, folks, to give them a call so they can reserve a spot. About half of the spots are filled, so there's still adequate room for people to sign up, but that may not be the case in a few days. So be a real good time to get a hold of someone at Cooperative Extension, Darren probably, or whoever answers the phone, and get your name and number down, and there is scholarship help.
Yeah, don't forget.
Probably some assistance with I know you're providing the equipment for the events and things like that. If someone needed a piece of gear or a jacket or something like that,
we can definitely help it work for people. If you don't hesitate, if you don't feel like you have the gear, give us a call. We'll help it make it work for you.
The important thing is to get the kids out there and teach them some Alaskan skills. All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations on getting the job as camp counselor.
Thanks, Pat.
Substance abuse can be both a cause and a consequence of homelessness. The U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness estimates nearly half of everyone experiencing homelessness suffers from substance abuse disorders. Join us at 360 on Tuesday, July 22nd for Living with Substance Abuse, a roof town hall discussion. Doors open at 5 p.m.
Is Bird Note. Welcome. You're one lucky duck to have landed at our little diner. This is no fly-by-night joint. May I start you with a drink? A swallow of Old Crow? Or wild turkey, perhaps? Hey, you're just in time for the early bird specials, when two can eat for the price of one. The soup du jour is bird's nest soup.
Order up.
If you're one who eats like a bird, you could peck at an appetizer. Hey, you shovelers will want something more substantial, of course. We have a chicken in every pot. But which will you have first, the chicken or the egg? Your goose is cooked, and it's all done the same way. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. For the main course, we have 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. Hey, don't worry. We won't make you eat crow. And for dessert, our swan song. Final tab for you, chicken feed. You want to learn where some of these terms originated? Do yourself a favor. Visit our website, birdnote.org. This is your humble maitre d', Swifty Falcone.
It's 19 minutes after 3, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore hosting today for Juneau Afternoon. My next guest is a wonderful lady from Sitka who is here to tell us about a great program she puts on in Juneau every year, I think, pretty much. Cindy Gibson is here. She's a financial advisor with Waddell & Reed, and she's going to be telling us about this fine little program that you put together to advise people on how to register for Social Security.
Right. Hi, Pat. Yeah,
Hi.
Thank you so much. It's not so much on exactly the technical side of registering, although I could go through that with folks. It's really about how or when should I take my Social Security benefit. And there are many, many layers, believe it or not. I used to think, well, Social Security is just pretty straightforward. When you turn 62, you're eligible. Bam, you start taking it, and you're done. That's the end of it.
It can be a real mistake.
But it can be a real mistake.
Yeah.
A huge mistake over, you know, many years, depending on how long you plan on living. So that's the big unknown, and balancing that decision with when do I start taking it. Am I currently married? Am I not currently married? Was I married for at least 10 years or not? You know, is one of my past spouses deceased now? There's just so many layers. Am I currently working? Am I not currently working? How old am I? Am I 62, 64, 66, 70? And so the choices are as many as there are varied.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, have I worked for the state of Alaska? Have I been a school teacher?
Well,
and how does that impact my future?
And impact is the correct word, because
right.
There are people who don't know that they have to kind of make sure that those hours are counted correctly.
That's right.
So when you do this seminar, Who attends? Who comes to this?
Gosh, anybody and everybody. You know, the sooner you start educating yourself about this kind of stuff, the more prepared and the better planning you can do. The more choices you'll have, actually, because if you have, you know, a target that you're going toward, the farther away you are, the more accurate you can be as you get closer. The more choices you have in being more accurate.
Yeah.
And so I'd encourage anybody, even if you're taking Social Security, or maybe you just started taking Social Security, sometimes you can still learn about what your future benefits may or may not be based on survivor benefits. There are three basic benefits. You have your own benefits from your own earnings, and then you also have a separate set of benefits, which would be either survivor benefits or spousal benefits. Mm-hmm. And they all work very differently from one from another, and they all can have a huge impact on your future if you understand them properly.
Now, when you do the seminar, you don't actually sit down with people who are there and work out their Social Security. It's more of a presentation that gives you a lot of information
and places to
start from.
It's going to walk people through step-by-step scenarios to see, you know, what it is, what it means to take your benefits early versus waiting. And usually the general break-even age is age 80. So if you take it early and you make it to 80, then after age 80, if you had delayed and taken it later, you'll be receiving less over your lifetime having taken it earlier. But a lot of people don't think they're going to make it to 80, and that's a whole nother conversation. I always say, well, plan for the worst case scenario, which is you live past 80, you know, in that case, and you need more money or something of that
Those
nature.
Those of us are shooting for three figures are
right,
in
that's
a different
the three
category.
Digit number, right,
yeah.
Exactly. Then you really want to try and wait to 70 if possible. But, you know, that's you have to balance it with your own financial situation. Not everybody can wait till 70 because we need money now to live on. And so, and that's okay too. It's just really figuring out what works best in your particular situation, and no two people are ever alike. So it's really understanding, you know, when should I take it? What are those options? And can I maximize my benefits if I'm married or was married at one point in time for at least 10 years? So there are ways to take your spousal benefits without your spousal benefits don't impact your spouse at all. It's just called a spousal benefit because everyone that's been married is if they're currently married or were married for at least 10 years has a spousal benefit.
Interesting.
And it doesn't impact the spouse or ex-spouse. The ex-spouse wouldn't even know about it. It's your benefit, and it's called your own spousal benefit. And what you're eligible for is one half of your current spouse or ex-spouse's benefit at your full retirement age. So most of us right now that are retiring, that would be age 66. So there, and it just goes on and on, the layers. And oh, but wait, there's a caveat to that. And wait again. And so, yeah.
So basically, that's the conversation that happens. This is in the Alaska room at the Juneau Airport.
Correct.
Just in case somebody doesn't know how to get there, what you do is you come up the stairs at the entrance that comes in where the luggage comes down. And you turn right at the top of those stairs and sort of make a U-turn up there.
Right.
And that's the Alaska
just like
room.
You're going to go through TSA at the go into the terminal where you would wait for the plane. But just to the left of where the TSA people are, there's a door. Kind of go down a little hallway.
Yeah, and it says Alaska room.
It says Alaska room. It's a beautiful room. And we're also going to have parking vouchers, so you'll have free parking.
Oh, what a good thing to know. Okay, so bring your ticket in with you.
Bring your ticket in, and we'll tell you what to write on the back of it. You know, when you're in the seminar, you have to sit through the whole No, I'm just kidding.
If you leave 5 minutes early, folks, then you have to pay your way out
the special
Hawk
code until it's over. Right.
So, and you're asking for folks to RSVP.
That would be helpful because I'd like to have some light snacks there, and that just helps me prepare and make sure that we don't run out of food. But if they can't RSVP, I'd rather they just come and get the information at the very least. Mm-hmm. So that's fine with me also. I know it's Alaska. We always like to see what the weather's like and do things last minute.
See if there's, you know, something shaking somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this is from 9:30 to 11:30 on Saturday, and this is not this Saturday. It's next Saturday.
Correct. And
July
I only
26th.
Say 11:30. We might end a little before that. I just want to be prepared if there are a lot of questions for folks to know that it could run a little bit longer. I am going to spend a bit of time on the WEP, the windfall elimination provision, and the GPO, which is the government pension offset. Those are the things that affect people who work for the state of Alaska, people who were teachers, or people who had some form of governmental job where they did not contribute to Social Security during those years, and they're going to have a pension in addition to, you know, that those years that they worked not contributing to Social Security.
Okay.
Which is mostly PERS and TERS.
And that is a jungle that is difficult to maneuver through. I'll have to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm one of those, and so I'm familiar with some of that foliage that you have to hack away in order to understand that one. So anyway, Cindy Gibson, thank you so much. Cindy is
a financial
advisor, works with Waddell & Reed Incorporated. She's based out of Sitka, and she will be presenting a seminar on Social Security at the Alaska Room, Juneau Airport, on Saturday, July 26th at 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. If you are interested, please RSVP by calling Karen at 907-966-2803, or you can email her at kcomas@wradvisors.com, and please do that by Friday the 25th if you're going to be coming, so that Cindy can figure out how many little sandwiches to make, right?
Okay. Correct.
Hey, good enough.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for doing this. It's a wonderful service.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 18th of July, 2014. It's the birthday of Nelson Mandela, born in Mvetso, South Africa, in 1918. First member of his family to go to school, devoted himself to working for an end to apartheid. And to that end, he spent 27 years in prison. He later said of his release from prison, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." Nelson Mandela, who said, "A good head and good heart are always a formidable combination, but when you add to that a literate tongue or pen, then you have something very special." It's the birthday of Thackeray, William Makepeace Thackeray, born in Calcutta, India, 1811, best known for his novel Vanity Fair, a novel without a hero, a novel about two women, Amelia Sedley and the ambitious Becky Sharp, who says, "I think I could be a good woman if I had 5,000 a year. Thomas Edison recorded the human voice for the first time on this day, 1877. He used a stylus-tipped carbon transmitter to make impressions on a strip of paraffin paper, and when he pulled the paper back along the stylus, it made a sound, the first phonograph. It's the birthday of the playwright Clifford Odets, Philadelphia, 1906. He became one of the founding members of the Group Theater in New York in 1931, and he wrote Waiting for Lefty, a play about a union strike, which was a great success, as was Odets' next play, Awake and Sing, about a Jewish family in the Bronx during the Depression. It's the birthday of Jessamine West, born Jennings County, Indiana, 1902. Family moved to Orange County, California, when she was young, where she grew up in her father's lemon grove. Her first book was a collection of short stories about Quakers, The Friendly Persuasion. She was a cousin of Richard Milhouse Nixon, and she babysat him when he was growing up. And it was on this day in 64 A.D. the Great Fire of Rome began, raged for 6 days. According to the historian Tacitus, it began in a dry goods store near the Circus Maximus. Some people blamed the Emperor Nero for the fire, and Nero blamed an obscure religious sect, the Christians, and tortured them to death in the amphitheater. Here's a poem for today, a little poem by an unknown author entitled Kindness to Animals. Little children, never give pain to things that feel and live. Let the gentle robin come for the crumbs you save at home. As his meat you throw along, he'll repay you with a song. Never hurt the timid hare peeping from her green grass lair. Let her come and sport and play on the lawn at close of day. The little lark goes soaring high to the bright windows of the sky, singing as if 'twere always spring, and fluttering on an untired wing. Oh, let him sing his happy song, nor do these gentle creatures wrong. Kindness to Animals by an Unknown Author. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that's been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from Wellspring, serving Juneau since 1990, announcing the return of Constance Trolin, advanced nurse practitioner, and is accepting patients. More information at 789-1812.
It's just about 27 minutes before 4 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon, and right now, listen to this.
You're the wind, I'm a weather vane, I'm convinced I'll never be the same every time you come around and get me going. Rusty wings reaching north and south on the highest point on the tallest house. I've seen it all and no one's ever known it. And I am trying not to panic, I am trying not to move, but I'd be so lost in a world without you. In the dark, you seem far away, just a spark in the empty space between here and the headlights on the highway. But they stop. and they look at me like I'm supposed to know where they're supposed to be. I tell them I don't know, but it ain't my way. And I am trying not to panic or to talk about the moon, but I'd be so lost in a world without you. And if the world don't end before us, if the memories won't keep, and there's no one to adore us, oh, could I sing you to sleep? There's a place on the open sea, smells like you and it looks like me. I have only seen the photographs and scars, but I dream if the night is deep of a riot house on a quiet street that feels like home no matter where we are. And I am trying not to panic, I am trying not to move, but I'd be so lost in a world without you. I am trying not to panic or to talk about the moon, but I'd be so lost in a world without you.
The voice and the guitar is Irene Muller. She's going to be playing at the Alaskan Saturday night, I think.
Yes,
and
I
got,
am.
You got Hench people coming in from Nashville. To
play. I do. Mm-hmm. I know. I brought in the big guns from down south.
Hey, all right. So who's coming in?
So we've got Avery Baker coming in with me on Saturday night. We're gonna duet, and we're also gonna do some solo stuff, each of us.
This is all at the Alaskan, so
this is all the
Alaskan. Probably going to have some walk-ins as well, right?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. It's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
Every time I think I know how many people I'm playing with, I'm wrong, so I've just stopped guessing.
Yeah, so keep the stage large and let anybody sit down who wants to, right?
Exactly, yeah, within reason.
Okay, so Photographs and Scars. In the middle of that song, you want to talk about this this little memory that you're obviously describing here. There's a place on the sea. Is that the line? Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that looks like you or looks like me.
There's a place on the open sea. Smells like you and
it
looks
like
me.
Smells like you and looks like me. There we go. Okay.
I had a relationship that consisted mostly of writing poetry about each other with. Somebody I've known for most of my life at one point. And I don't know, there was this beach theme to the whole thing. There was a lot of ocean metaphors flying around. And I don't know, he had some great scars. Like, some people have scars that are just kind of like, oh, I like dropped a thing on my hand once. But he just had some really interesting scars and great stories to go with them. And so I wrote that song about my friend. That was kind of, I mean, it was about him, but it was also about just the way that we attach people to places. And the kind of the thing, this kind of chain of remembrance of like, I have this quarter, you know, in the cup holder of my car, which reminds me of like the dollar that it was changed from, which I like found in an envelope with this photograph that came from this person who has this scar on their shoulder from the time they, you know, crashed into a coral reef kind of thing. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know, the fun things that remind us.
Okay, now I want to go to the chorus. I'm trying not to panic. I'm trying not to move.
And that part's about me.
Okay, so what's the the panic I got? Okay, but what about the move?
Well, there's the whole weather vane metaphor of like I'm just kind of up here spinning in the wind, you know, and I can't really help the way that I'm affected by you or by other people or by the things happening in my life. And so, you know, I have this, at least I know I have this tendency when I have this like raw emotional reaction to something to be like, to panic and B, to dig my heels in. And, you know, I don't want to be up here spinning in the wind with no idea what's, you know, without a control of the situation. I want to be still and sturdy and feel like I got this. When, I mean, that's not how falling in love works at all, really.
No, nor weather veins, actually.
Nor weather veins. It's about that feeling of kind of just, you know, the song for me was about really getting through that and just letting go. And, you know, if you're going to be up here, you got to be up here and take everything that goes with it.
Okay, now you said the relationship with this person was writing poems to each other. So I'm thinking this started out as a poem. Is that correct?
This actually started out as a song.
Oh, it did. Okay. So how do you know the difference?
There isn't always one. I have some songs that I would consider poetry. Most of my songs I'd consider poetry, with the possible exception of things that I write, like, on the spot for people because I'm feeling silly. They're not always the most poetic. I guess they're still poems. They're just not good poems. Things that I don't put to music, there are some poems I write really wordy, kind of free verse type poetry sometimes, which is often hard to adapt into song form. And so I'll either take pieces from that and write a song from it, which often the nature of the piece will change that way because you lose a lot of detail and the emphasis is placed on the pieces that you save and put in the song.
There's a real parallel there between what happens when you try to make a movie out of a book.
Exactly.
In the sense that you can't put the whole book on the screen.
Exactly.
So there's this place where you have to say to yourself, that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And yeah. The good movies are the ones where they let it be its own thing to an extent. You know, I mean, like Harry Potter springs immediately to mind. Because I know a lot of people were devout fans of the book, and they were like, well, you skipped this and this and this, and this person, you know, there's no character development for this, or they skipped this whole relationship subplot line. But, I mean, the movies would be 8 hours long. And nobody wants to sit in the movie theater for eight hours, no matter how much they love Harry Potter.
The way they deal with that now is to do something like The Hobbit, where they split a book that is, you know, about an inch thick into three movies to maximize the profits, I think.
But I think there's some art lost there when you try to stretch it out quite that much.
I absolutely agree. I recently reread The Hobbit, and I discovered that it's a much quieter book than the movie.
It's true.
Yeah, it's a really quiet book.
Less of an aural assault.
Yeah. Anyway, so this gig at the Saturday, the Alaskan, how'd that come about?
I met Avery a couple weeks ago. I've been traveling for the last 5 months on and off for various reasons.
You have to now say where.
So I went to Fairbanks for an anthropological conference where I presented a paper, and then I went to a yoga and meditation teaching yoga and meditation as part of addiction recovery kind of conference in New Mexico. And then I was back here for a couple of weeks, and then I went to Seattle and then Bellingham and then Portland and then North Carolina and then Tennessee and Virginia. Washington, D.C. was in there somewhere.
I'm starting to wonder why I ask.
And then back here. Now I'm going to Bristol Bay for 5 weeks.
Were you any place more than a day?
a few, not most of them.
Did you play any of those places?
I did, yeah. I was really lucky. I got to play a few places in Boone, North Carolina. I got to go jam with some old-timers up in Southern Virginia. It was great.
All right. Take your guitar along and take every opportunity.
Yeah, why not? So I met Avery when I was blowing through town this time, and I heard him play at open mic at the Alaskan. I guess it was last week or the week before, and we just kind of, you know, we're like, oh, hey, you, nice to meet you. I feel like we should be friends. And we, you know, liked each other's music and said, hey, let's jam sometime. And then we ran into C. Scott Fry, who's the manager at the Alaskan. And I, you know, sort of half jokingly was like, hey, we should give us a gig. He was like, I don't want to play next Saturday. And we were like, oh, crap. Okay.
Yeah, we can do it.
Sure. We should probably go rehearse now.
We should rehearse. Yeah.
But we have rehearsed. I want you all to know that we have indeed actually made time to rehearse.
Okay,
so
okay.
It'll be good.
Well, I'm heartened now.
It'll be great.
I was concerned for a couple of minutes. What time are you starting?
So we're starting at 10. We might start a little bit before that if there's already folks hanging around. So if you come early, you know, you might get a pleasant surprise.
And I was quite surprised when we were talking before I opened up the mics and I said, what's a cover charge? And you said there isn't one. And
there isn't one,
no. That's kind of cool. So,
I mean, we, of course, encourage you to drink responsibly.
Well, of course, yes.
You know, tip your bartenders and us and everybody else. But there's no cover charge at the door. So you can just come on in and listen, dance. You can just come for a couple songs, you know.
Yeah.
If you hate it, you can leave. We hope you don't. But
The Alaskan is a nice setting.
It's a safe investment. Yeah. I love playing there. Yeah. It's the first place in Juneau I played after I moved back up here, and it has a very special place in my heart.
Cool.
Great
cool.
people, great times all around.
Irene, can you gift us with another piece?
I think I could manage
perhaps
that.
With less poetical analysis afterward this time.
Sure.
We'll move on to, unfortunately, away from you and into our next guest, but that's okay.
Well,
so.
It's fun to get to talk about it sometimes.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it is. So, Irene, I appreciate your talking so frankly about your compositional form and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, of
Irene
course.
Muller, Saturday at the Alaskan, 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, along with Avery Baker and a host of others. No cover charge. Hey, join them. Here you go. A little more music.
Hope we see you there.
I was just sleeping. I've been keeping to myself these days. I've been whispering wishes into dirty napkins and then throwing them away. I was just dreaming about the last time that I asked you not to stay. It still bothers me, but not enough to keep me awake. I just miss you like fire on a summer night. I don't need you here, but I sure wouldn't mind. I've been hanging with angels who stay up all night, and I wake up knowing I'm already fine. You found someone new. I heard that you found two, and you said they didn't matter. Boy with a body like an anchor, and told him everybody matters. And he called a few times just to talk about the sky and all kinds of nothing. I asked if you felt fine. You said, why wouldn't I? And I said nothing.
She'll be at the Alaskan, on Saturday night from 10 to 1 with Avery Baker. Come on down, take in advantage of the music. Irene, thank you so much.
Thank you for having
Thanks for bringing along your axe and doing a couple of songs.
anytime at all. We'll see you there.
The clinic is closed and you or a loved one don't feel well, or you have a health-related question that can't wait. What do you do? Here's the solution. Starting July 1st, Search will have a free after-hours nurse triage line for our patients in Juneau. Search's free after-hours service is available by calling 1-800-613-0560. For life-threatening emergencies, please call 911.
This message brought to you by Search, your partner in health.
recorded background music today is provided by Matthew Shanning, and it's off of a CD called Narrow Path. Very meditative sound. Solo cello, kind of interesting. He's providing a lot of his own rhythm with his hand slaps, so I guess that's one way to do things. Anyway, my next guest is part of this week's Food Truck Friday, and I guess Maria Offer is going to be showing some crafts at the Food Truck Friday. Maria, what's up?
Well, I have some crafts and some textiles from Mexico, southern Mexico. I'll have with me my friend Natalie. Natalie's from Mexico, and she owns a business called Galleria Boutique, and we're really excited that she's here in Juneau with us. Mm-hmm. She sells textiles from indigenous artists from Mexico, and she sells them different countries in Europe and some places in the United States, so we're really excited she came up to Juneau, and we'll have a table there today.
Outstanding. So this is Food Truck Friday, and people may not know that there's kind of a combination of things going on over at the Jack. So there's a bunch of tents set up out front, and are you at one of those, or are you indoors?
I'm outside on the lawn near the food truck.
So in one of the tents in the front.
Yes.
The inside, I think, is set up as a stage, and I know one of the groups that's going to be playing today is a blues rock band called the Flustered Cluckers, and so they'll be playing. I don't know exactly who else is booked, but basically it's a series of sets with several different bands. And outside, there are a number of outfits from around town who set up food truck operations, including one that's kind of permanent, I think, in front of the Jack for the summer, and a couple of others. So there's an option here to pick up dinner and then go inside, sit down, listen to some good music, swing around through the various booths and take a look at Maria's crafts and like that. So so you're bringing in the textiles, and Natalie imports these from, did you say, from indigenous countries. Does she from all over the world, or?
No, she, it's just from Mexico.
Just from
Mexico. There's textiles,
okay.
And there's also handmade books,
okay,
with handmade paper. And when I met Natalie, we were, I was traveling in Chiapas. I was doing a literacy project, a volunteer literacy project with people in Chiapas who speak Tzotzil. And I met up with Natalie there, and she worked at a place called Taller Leñateros. And that is a papermaking shop run by indigenous people, and they were making Mayan-style books and using all Mayan poetry, Mayan sayings, and artwork incorporated into the books. And so it's really exciting. She worked with them for a month or so helping out, and now she sells their products and kind of markets them in different places, as well as the textiles. So it's mm-hmm. really exciting to see the work, and also it brings awareness for the native cultures in Mexico. We have a resurgence of the native language here in Southeast Alaska, Tlingit and Haida, and so it's nice to see the connections in Mexico as well.
Certainly we do. I was noticing that the University of Alaska Southeast is just concluding a week-long program that involved students actually speaking in Tlingit and engaging in Tlingit crafts and arts up at the university. So the insurgence of awareness, I think, of indigenous peoples is really kind of a major thing. I also just recently came back from the Adaka Festival in Whitehorse, which was a week-long festival of the First Nations people over there, really excellently put on.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I attended a Tlingit immersion program as well at the university, and I feel it's very important. I studied Tzotzil, which is one of the Mayan languages in Chiapas, and the books that we'll have on display are in Tzotzil and English, or Tzotzil and Spanish. And so it's really exciting to see the Mayan artwork along with their native language.
Can you characterize that language at all? I'm curious, how many speakers are there? Is it like our situation here where we're starting to lose people who are original speakers in the languages?
Yes, I think there's more young people and adults of, you know, like middle-aged adults who speak the native language there in Mexico. I don't think it's dying out as, well, it's hard to use that word. I hope there's, you know, I have great hope that our languages will survive because they're so important. They do have some efforts with bilingual schools, and that's one of the things I was down there studying, is how successful they are with their bilingual schools. And so there is some effort, but again, more money to put into
translation of books or writing their own books, and that's one of the things I do with my volunteer projects down there. I've donated books in Spanish and done art projects with the children in workshops. And so I have some pictures of that I'll be showing as well to raise awareness for this important work. So it's a kind of a combination that Natalie and I are partnering on to bring awareness of the native cultures of Mexico up here to Juneau.
Mm-hmm. In addition to the food truck Friday, though, you said she also is operating a shop here in Juneau as well?
No. She has her own business, and it's out of Puebla,
Mexico. Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Puebla is about an hour or two from Mexico City. It's the capital of the state of Puebla.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful city with colonial architecture, and that's the headquarters for her business. That's where she lives and runs the business.
I see. So she's brought these the objects that she's going to be showing and selling. She brought them up just in response to your coming back up.
Yes. Yeah. So just working on our partnership of both. The part of her business that's really important is it's fair trade. She works directly with the indigenous artists. She pays them a fair wage. She realizes the value of the work. So some of the products are costly, but the money goes directly to them to promote their art. So she looks for quality artwork and treats pays a fair wage so that they're able to maintain a good lifestyle for their family as well as continue their art. And that's the mission of her business.
Again and again, the terms fair trade come up. I sold coffee for a number of years, and fair trade coffee was kind of a byword as well. And I guess on a small scale, it's very easy to pass the money on to the actual artist. So the larger the company gets, I know there are some real egregious problems with fair trade. That was the case with our when we were buying coffee out of Mexico. We had to be very careful that the money that we were hoping would go back to the growers was actually getting there. So,
yeah, and I've seen that too. Right now in Juneau, I'm not aware if we have any fair trade stores. I know there's one in Anchorage, and this one in Mexico is very exciting because she is the director of her company and she works directly with the people. So it's a small company with just 3 employees at this time.
Outstanding. Well, it is Food Truck Friday, and over at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, the JAC, there are food booths set up. The music is beginning at, I think, 4:30, and Maria Offer will be there with Natalie Zydek, and they will be exhibiting this indigenous material from Mexico. So step over to the JAC, take in the show, and enjoy yourself, and have a little food, too.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of people down there.
You bet. This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM on downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also broadcast on a set of translators throughout the area. In the Valley and Auk Bay, you can tune K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, we're at K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus hears us on K201 AM at 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS at 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard on digital channel 872. And KXLL can be found on 873. We're also online at www.ktoo.org. Monday at 3, Juneau Afternoon returns to KTOO. We'll get an update on CBJ activities. City Manager Kim Kiefer will drop by and join us. Jenny Smith from the Peregrine Booster Club will come in to tell us about the upcoming Whale Watch fundraiser. Search has driver training classes coming, and so we'll find out about those. And Shona Strasser will drop in to talk about Perseverance Theater's star performances. So stay tuned for Juneau Afternoon on Monday. Pat Moore, been your host today for Juneau Afternoon. Been a great honor to bring you some of these fine folks to talk to us about the events that they're holding. Get out, do something in Juneau. Now time for All Things Considered.